Okay, today's shir is Chulin Daf Sadag Aleph, and we'll start. It's not really in the middle of a raya, so we'll start with the fifth or sixth line on Sadag Aleph and Aleph. And again, sorry, this week will be some shortened shirim as they always are during Slichas weeks, but Be'ez Hashem, we'll try to get as many as we can up on time. So the Gemara, if you remember, was talking about the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda the Mishnah said that the Isser of Gid Hanasha only applies to one of the Gidin. One of the Gidin. So, and we said the Das Machra'as, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, if you remember right after the two dots, the Rabbi Yehuda Shita was the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einu Noeg Ela Ba'achas, V'Hadas Machra'as Es Shel Yamin. The Das is Machria, that it should be the right one. The Chacham say it applies to both Gidin, the right and the left. The Rabbi Yehuda says only one, and the Das Masrach is Machras, that it's Yamin. So what does that mean? Das Machras. Does that mean that it's the Das of the Torah that's Machras? And meaning it's one, and we assume that that is what the Torah wants us to do, and it's a din, it's a din d'oraisa, and it's a din vadai. That's what das machras means. Or Dilma, the Gemara says sifuki misafkale. Or is it? We're not sure. We're not sure which one. There's no vada here. It's all suffik. But the das is nota. Rashi says lashon suffik. Rashi had said there avol nira b'miksas. Right, the stama nevikim chaver why, as we'll see later on as well. But the das is machras because when two people are fighting, says Rashi, it says the Gemara later on, and each one grabs each other, so the arms of one go around the other one. So if we say that the angel was fighting with Yaakov Avinu and he grabbed him, whatever it means for an angel, that the angel is not physical, but that he grabbed him, so the angel was coming, the right arm, so to speak, of the angel was by Yaakov's left, but he went around him, grabbing him and wrestling him, so went all the round to Yaakov's right, and that's the thigh that became dislocated. So that's the Das Machras. We're not sure, but you know we're noted that way. So that's what the Gemara is trying to figure out now. Where do we do? Is that a Dinda? So when Rabbi Yehuda says it's Das Machras, that it's Yamin, is that a Vadai or is that a Suffik? That's the question here. So we had two tries in the to try to prove it one way or the other. So this is the third try. So Tashma, says the Gemara on the top of Tadag Aleph Aman Aleph. Tashma, Achal Mizek Kezayis, and Mizek Kezayis, Sofek Shmonim. If someone eats from the Gid Hanasha, Mizek, from this one of Kezayis, and from this one of Kezayis. What does that mean? It means, Rashi says, two Achilos and two Hasraos. Right, that's why he says, Mizek Kezayis, Mizek Kezayis. If it would have been all one, then it wouldn't have formulated it like that. But it says, Mizek Kezayis, Mizek Kezayis, so it must be two Achilos, one from the right and one from the left. Sofik Shbonim, so Tanakama says, Chum say, you get 80 Malkus. You get two sets of Malkus. Right, which fits into the sheet of the Rabbanan, that is two, they're b'chai for both, and you did it at two separate times, the two asros, two achilos, so you're going to get two. Rabbi Yehuda or in a sofik al arbaim. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're going to get 40, you're going to get malchus for this. So the Gemara says, I amr bishlama mifshat pshitale shapir. If you say that das machras is the Torah is machria, so then fine, everything works out. You get malchus because he vaday did an avera. Ela I amrit sifuki misafkale. But if you say he's in doubt, yeah, I think the right is the one, but he's in doubt, then havi lehasra safik, that each time he's warned before he eats either one of the gidin, it is a hasra safik, v'shamina le Rabbi Yehuda, and we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds, this we had already, damar hasra safik lo shma hasra, we know that it's no good, meaning you should get no malchus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if he's not sure which of the Gidin, and he's only saying, yeah, this is what I think, but really he's still besafik, that he shouldn't get any Malkus, because it's Hasra Safik. Did Tanya, as the Brisa says, Hika Ezeh, V'chaza V'hika Ezeh, if somebody has, remember the case, Safik, who the father is, a child is born a few months after, 6-7 months after his mother got divorced and remarried without waiting the 3 months of Havchana, as Shilach Anchila is supposed to, and let's say he hits both of the fathers, both of the, maybe it's my father, he hits one and then he hits the other one, Kilo Azeh v'chaz of Kilo Azeh, he curses one and then he curses the other one, Hika Shneim v'basachas, or Shekilo Shneim v'basachas, in all those cases, one after another, or even at once, Chayiv. Tanakama says Chayiv. Why? Maybe the Tanakama holds Hasra Safek, Shema Hasra, each one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'basachas Chayiv, because that's one act. And therefore, basachas, if it's at the same time, then you'd be chayiv, because that's a regular hasra. Don't do this, and if you do it, you're going to be chayiv. V'zeh chazeh pater. Right? So that's the question. You see, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Hasra Safik is Lav Shema Hasra? Question mark. What exactly is the problem of Hasra Safik? What's the problem? So we say it means whenever I give warning and there's some other problem, some other chisaron in the case besides the fact that that he didn't do the Aveir yet. I tell him he shouldn't do this. And even if he would do it right now, it still might not be the Aveira. So it might not be the Aveira. There's always some other way out. That's Hasra HaSafik. But in Lamdis, what is the problem? What does Hasra HaSafik do? And the Chakira of the Achronim is as follows. I'll read it to you from Shirei Reb Shmuel. B'masha anemar b'Hasra HaSafik lo Shema Hasra. Im havi chisaron b'Hasra'a, v'havi kamo sha'avar b'mezid b'lo Hasra'a. Does Hasra HaSafik mean that it's a problem in the Hasra? The act is the act. It's perfect. It's like a mezid. You did a mezid without getting warned. Right? So Hasra HaSafik, you knock out the Hasra, the statement reflects. Hasra HaSafik, Lav Shema Hasra, sounds like it's focusing on the Hasra and not on the Maisa. Sounds like the Maisa is perfect. It's like a Maisa Avera without Hasra. Is that how we look at it? Oh, Shema HaVechisaron B'mezid HaAvera. Or maybe it's even worse. Maybe if Hasra HaSafik means the Maisa is deficient. Kivan de Mesafkalon, Bishasa Siyas HaMaisa, Mavar Olav, if even as he does the Aveira, we have some type of doubt, that affects his own Chiyuv. That affects the definition of this Maisa Aveira. That's the question. Right? This question might even relate to Hasra in general. What does Hasra do in general? When I give somebody a warning, why do they have to get Hasra? So what I might say is sort of like the Pashtus, to make sure that he knows about what he's doing. Right, it's does not integrate at all with the Maisa. The guy's doing the Maisa, but we want to be sure. So we want to be sure that we know that he knows that what he's doing. Even if it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows without the Hasra, but we need to know. So it's just a very practical measure to give Hasra. Or the deeper idea, understanding of Hasra is that Hasra makes the Maisa Aveira a worse Aveira. If a person does the act even after being warned about it, so that's an even worse Aveira. And if without the Hasra, it's not the level of Aveira, of Chumras Aveira, that's going to be Chayiv of a person Misa. Right? So those are two ways of the Hasra in general, but both of those might impact into Hasra HaSafik. Right? The latter one is the one where Hasra integrates into the Misa, and that might be the latter understanding that we said of Hasra HaSafik. Okay, either way, those are two understandings of the problem of Hasra HaSafik, and two understandings of Hasra in general. Okay, number one. So the second point I wanted to mention is just relating to this case. It says here that either if the father was cursed or hit, b'zecharzeh or b'bas achas. What does bas achas mean? What does bas achas mean? At once. So Rashi here doesn't say, but if you remember Rashi, we had earlier, about 10 blad ago, on Pei Beis Mabez, where this came up. Rashi says, Bas Achas, Herim Shte Yadav, Vihika Zeba Achas, Vezeba Achas. Two hands, and I go, boom! And I clap my hands, meaning Mamish Bas Achas. Right, exactly at the same time, I slap them together. That's Rashi here. If you look in elsewhere, if you look in Rashi and Makkas, did I bring it? I didn't bring it, but Rashi and Makkas, Daf Tezayinim Abeis. The Gemara there, Rashi explains it, this comes up there too. Basachas and Zecharzeh. Rashi says Basachas means Tokatei Dibur. Even if I do one and then I do another one, right afterwards, Tokatei Dibur, that's good enough. And the Aruch Laner picks up on this difference in Rashi. He just wonders why Tokatei Dibur isn't good enough for Rashi here, Pebez, right? Why do you have to come up with Mamish Basachas? We find all areas of Halacha. Basachas is, you know, Tokatei Dibur can be defined as Basachas. Lanias Daiti says, this is the Aruch Laner in, right, Tezayin Mabez in, I'm sorry, the, right, in Yuvamis. The Aruch Laner says, he has to know why Rashi is Nidchak, I'm not going to read it inside, why Rashi is Nidchak to say non Tokotei Dibur. So again, it might relate to our issues that we've discussed. We had a Shir B'Ian about this, relating to how do you look at Tokotei Dibur. Is Tokatei Dibur purely a schus chazara? No, you said something, but we give you the chance to retract. Is that what Tokatei Dibur means in the most limited way? Or is Tokatei Dibur something much deeper that it's we look at time in halakhic increments? And we look at time, and that's how, right, the biggest ride to that we mentioned is the Gemara in Nedarim, where the Gemara says, if somebody hears about a relative, Rahman al-Islam, that died, and he tears Kriya for that relative, and then he finds out within Tokadei Dibur that the relative had only fainted earlier, and now the relative died. I mean, the relative died 3 seconds after he tore Kriya. So the Gemara says, Yasi de Kriya. Yasi de Kriya. You don't have to tear again? As long as you heard about it within Tokadei Dibur. So how is that? You have to tear Kriya as you have to tear Kriya for the mace? How can you do it beforehand? The answer is, if it's a Schus Chazar idea, then that Gemara is not explainable. But if you say it's a question of how you look at time, halakha increments of time, so that we might say that that would be understandable as well. So maybe that's what's going on here too. Again, Rashi emphasizing in each place, maybe if he does not want to say Tokte Dibur as enough basachas, maybe it's because you don't look at it in as deep a way in that type of Rashi. This is not explaining the stira, just explaining the two different Rashis. To put them together, one would probably have to say, maybe based on context, you got to look at each of the contexts to figure out why Rashi says one in one place and one in the other place. Okay, either way. But what are we up to? So the Gemara asked Akasha. The Gemara said, if this is the Shita of Reb Yehuda says you get Malkus, how can you get Malkus? If he holds that it's only a suffix that the right one is the Isser Gid, that is the one that's applicable, so why should you get any Malkus? You should say Esra Safik, it's Lashma Esra. You shouldn't get any Malkus, even if it is the case of, you shouldn't even get one Malkus, even in the case of Bibas Achas, which is where he says that you're going to get one Malkus. Answers the Gemara, Haitana, Savar Laki, Daftana Reb Yehuda. Maybe this opinion holds like the other Reb Yehuda, right? A different Amaram that argue within Reb Yehuda, a different later Tanam that argue within Reb Yehuda, to Amar, Hasra Savik Shma Asra. But there's another Tana out there that says that Reb Yehuda holds that it is a good Asra. That's Rav Slavik is a good Asra. The Tanya, where do we see that? From the following Brisa, Moses, here, Mimenuad Boker, don't leave over till the morning, right? The Isra of Nosar, Vechulu, and if you leave over to the morning, you have to burn it. So what's that? What is Nosar defined as? So, Machlokas, Ba'akas of Litin Asay, Achalos Asay, was an Asay after the Los Asay, Lomar, Shein Lokanalav, Div Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda holds, Lavanitak Lasay. Because this aver can be fixed by an assay, you don't get malchus. As we know, that's the principle of lavanita glasay. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Lomen Hashem Huzeh. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, that's not true. That's not the exact reason why you wouldn't get malchus for Nosar. Elam Shem Davi, Lav Shem Amaisa. No, it's not that you do the aver B'Shev Valtasa, Lav Shem Amaisa. Cholav Shem Amaisa ain't looking to love. And you don't get malchus for a Lav She'ein B'Maisa. Period. But what do you see there, Rabbi Yehuda does not say? If you remember, this was a riot by omission. Every case of Nosar, Rashi explained, is a Hasra Safi case. Because at every moment, if he does the, what's the Aveya right now? That he's not eating, that he's not burning. But every second he can say, I'll do it in 2 minutes. There's still time left. So that's also a Hasra Safi. Hasra Safi always means that if he does the Aveya right now, so then it's for sure going to violate. But here, what's the Aveya? Not burning, not consuming. So that's Hasra Safi, because every second it could be that he's going to do it in 10 minutes from now. And you see, Rabbi Yehuda does not say that as the reason of Ptur. So therefore, we say it must be that according to this version of Rabbi Yehuda, he would say it's not a problem of Hasra Safi. Hasra Safi Ishma Hasra, and that's why he says the other reason, and this could be the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda earlier, who says you're going to get at least one set of Malkus for the Isser of Gid Hanasha.
Why not two?
Sorry?
And why not two?
Why not two? Because he says you only chaya for one Gid.
Right.
He only says you only chaya for one Gid. Okay. Period. Remember the Machlokas that we've mentioned at length, but it's always good to remember it, and that is, how do you define a lav sheyesh b'maisa and a lav she'ein b'maisa? Right? How do you define that? Because some cases are clear, some cases are not clear. Leaving over nosar, it's pretty clearly that is a lav she'ein b'maisa. But some cases are not so clear. For example, the isser of nekama, the isser of revenge. So there, that's an aver that you could violate with a maisa, without a maisa. Revenge, I could not lend somebody money, a form of revenge, and I could, you know, punch somebody, also a form of revenge. So you get Malkus for revenge. You get Malkus for that Aveira. So that's the Sefer HaChinuch in Reish Mem Aleph, where the Sefer HaChinuch discusses the Isser of Nekama, which we've quoted the Shorash HaMitzvah in other contexts. about how we are supposed to think that everything comes from Hashem and everybody is just a mitzidi. I am not an object, and I don't have control of certain things in my life. A good good sefer chinuch for this time of year, says the chinuch at the end though. Ein lokan alav zeh lefisha ein b'maisa. You don't get malchus on a kama because it's alav she'ein b'maisa. The klal zeh yeh b'yadcha. This is the klal that should be in your hand. And the chinuch says this many times. It's interesting, the Menachas Chinuch points out there are some averos that he doesn't say this by, which have to be worked out. But what he says explicitly is, a number of times, b'chol makom shenemar lav she'ein bo maisa, ein lokan alav, in all the cases where it says you don't get malchus, sha'af al pi sha'asa bo shemaisa, ein lokan alav ebne kein. Even if you do a maisa, it's still lav she'ein bo maisa, as long as you didn't have to do a maisa to violate. If it's possible to do it without a maisa, it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. That's the chinuch. Mikivat she'ef sha lav or alav b'li maisa, he doesn't, but he does. But that is the chinuch. If you could violate without a ma'isa, so one could add a thought of lundus, that reflects a certain level of chumras avera, or lack thereof, if you could do it without a ma'isa. So even if you happen to do it with a ma'isa, that is not going to get malchus. That is the shita of the chinuch in mitzvah resh mem aleph. If you look in the Magen Mishnah assumes that the Rambam argues. The Magen Mishnah in the end of the 12th parak, beginning of the 13th parak of Hilchas Schirus, the Rambam there is talking about the isser of chasima, the isser of muzzling one's animal. So the Rambam there says, kala manei abehema milecho b'shas malacha loke. Anybody who prevents their animal from eating while it is plowing, you get malchus for that. Doesn't matter who, an ox or any animal, bein tamein, bein tahorin, kosher and non-kosher. It doesn't matter if one is chosem and muzzles their animal, they are going to be chayev. And then the Rambam adds, Echad achosim b'osa b'shas malacha, v'echad achosim b'osa mikodem, v'echad v'asa b'malacha v'hu chasuma, afilu chasma b'kol loke. Even if I muzzle it just by screaming at it, I get malchus. If I just make a sound that scares the animal, so that also is going to get malchus. Why is that? Is that because akibas sfas of havi ma'isa? That's one way to look at it. That moving your lips is also a ma'isa for certain halachas. Or, says the Magen Mishnah right here, the Rambam holds the opposite of the chinuch. If it's possible to do an aveira with a ma'isa, then even if you happen to do it without a ma'isa, you're still going to get malchus. That is the Magen Mishnah. Be'efshar ha'yali lomar, she'kol lav she'efshar bo ma'isa, ela dibur, she'ina dibur kari ma'isa, that's a lav she'in bo ma'isa. Aval chasima, kivan she'yeshna bo ma'isa gamur, afa chasima b'kol, he kim'isa. That's his lashon. Again, because that might reflect the opposite. If it could be done with a ma'isa, that reflects a certain chumer sa'aveira, and therefore, even if one does it without it, so then one would get malchus. And then there's the middle opinions. There's a raivin about metzia, and the shi'im mekubetzes that says, well, it depends if you did the ma'isa or not. If you did a ma'isa, then you're going to get malchus. If you didn't do a ma'isa, you are not going to get malchus. Okay, either way, that is the discussion of lav she'ish b'ma'isa. Ein b'ma'isa, generally, the one that was discussed here was no sar, and it is one that is violated without a ma'isa. It's Shev Al Tatsa not doing something, and therefore one would never get malchus. Okay. Tashma says the Gemara now at Tosefta. You can just call up if possible. If not, not. Tashma says the Tosefta in Makos. Achal Beis Gidin mi Beis Yirechas mi Beis Behemos so fake pes. Says the Brisa, if somebody eats two gidin from two thighs of two animals, right? What's the emphasis? Emphasis is pashas that it's two different ones. Mishte behemos, Rashi says. Mi denakat mishte behemos ki hechi denevi travayu yumanios nakat. Says Rashi, it must be that we're talking about the same side of the animals. Because if it was different sides, you wouldn't have to go to two animals. So we must be talking about two different sides of the same side of the animals. So if somebody eats two gidim from two different animals, but it's the same side, two rights or two lefts, so fake pay. So the Tanakhama comes, so you get 80. Get two sets of malchus, right? Because you're chayev for it's two separate halams, right? So it's two achilas. Therefore, you're going to get two. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no sofek el arbam. No, only a one set of malchus. What are we talking about here? Mi dekamar mi beis yirechos mi beis behemos. If you're talking about two, so the Gemara says pshita de travayu li isura. So ulu Rabbi Yehuda itzrech. So what do you see? It must be that they're both Isser. If you're going to get, the Tanakh says you're going to get 80 Malkus. And according to Yehuda, it must be the Chiddush. So it must be that it's clear to Rabbi Yehuda what the Isser is, and not just Mishum Safek. Because right? You see, Rabbi Yehuda's going to, we're talking about the same side of the animal, and we're talking about Chiyah for Rabbi Yehuda, so it must be the right side. And he says, you get Malkus. So if you get Malkus, it must be that he's Vaday Shur, that one gets Malkus for the Yemin. Meaning, Das Machras is Das Torah Machras. Says the Gemara, the obvious question then, Vip Shitale, am I sofing mem vesulo, Loki Pei? If you're telling me that it is Vaday and it is obvious, see, so he should, it's two rights. So if it's two rights, then you should get 80. You should get two sets of Malkus. So the Gemara answers, Hach, am I askinan, kagon deles bo kizayas. But the answer is that there is no kizayas here. What does that mean? Titania, achalo. I mean, he ate a whole gid, but not a kizayas. And therefore we get into the world of birya, of whole units. Titania, achlo ve'ein bo kizayas chayev. Or if somebody eats a gid, and there is not a kizayas that is that he's eating, he's still chayev. Still chayev if he eat a whole gid, because it is a birya. Rabbi Yehuda omer achiyah bo kizayas. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to have a kizayas. Rabbi Yehuda rejects birya, maybe not totally, but at least in this context. Right, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, like we like to quote in Yaradeya, the Shulchan Aruch and Yaradeya discuss this as well, that not every discussion of in the Rishonim of birya has the same definition. This is an important one. This is, can a gid be an entire birya by itself? Usually we think of birya as a whole ant or as a whole other type of animal, but here we have the context of birya in the Gemara, not even in the Rishonim. The Rishonim extended with the concept of birya in, thank you, in by Yarech, says the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Kuf in Yaradeya, birya, dahainu, kigon, nimala, o oftamei, vigid hanasha. There it is. Right there, the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Kuf quotes gid hanasha as an example of birya. The eber minachai, ubeitza shishba efrawach, vachayotze behen, all of those, afilu be'alaf lo betela. So we know, even be'alaf, the Gemara, on a doraisa level, the Gemara mentions, birya's usher. That's a dinda araisa. Avriya's also, even if it's less than a shear. The Chacham extended that idea to say, you know what? Why is it also? Because it must be a davar chashiv inherently, and therefore we're going to say it's not batel. So that's the extension of the Rabbanan. Daraisa, because midaraisa should be batel, right? So the midaraisa is batel. But midarabanan, we say, but just called the tikkun Rabbanan, we extend it from the daraisa. The daraisa says that a birya is usher even without a kizayis, and the Rabban extended that it is not batel even an elef. The Emo din birya, but then the Shulchan Aruch says it only has a din of a birya if it has all of these requirements. And this is a combination of a number of Rishonim. Number one, davar sheish bo chiyas. That's to come from a live animal, excluding chita achas shel iser. If you have one barley seed, that's not going to be called a birya. It has to have chiyus, meaning come from an animal, an entire animal or part of an animal. V'chein tzarech shidavar she'asur mitzchilas biryaso. It has to be asur from the beginning of its creation. Lafuke, excluding a piece of nevela, oftar nishtadis navel, or ashar niskal. Number three, it has to be shalem, that if you split it, it wouldn't have its name on it. That's okay, these are all requirements of birya. Yeah, there's others, but those are the three quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, good. But this is the machlokas. So we suggest that maybe the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, besides arguing about Gidan Asha, maybe there's other argument about birya, and that's what's going on here. The machlokas is not fundamentally about gid. The machlokas is fundamentally about birya. So now we get to the third line. The time am I, so what is the reason that it's obvious? Let's say it's obvious. We've proven that Rabbi Yehuda is, it's Das Torah, that he holds us only from the right. So why is it so obvious? We already alluded to this in Rashi, but now we're going to say it. Why is it obvious that it's the right? Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Hayarech, Hamiyumeneshep Yarech, the Gid, the Hayayid is always the right. The right is always the Chashav one, that's the Hayarech. V'Rabbanan, Hahu de Pashit Isurei Bikule Yarech. What is the pasuk alluding to Hayarech? We know there's an inner and an outer gid on each of the legs. So we're talking about the inner one. The inner one, Lafuke Chitza Delo, that's what the Hayarech is teaching me. It's the inner gid. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amar, Amar Kras. Now we're going to get to another reason why it would be the right. And this starts us off, hopefully getting into some Agadata. Behei of Koimo, as the Malach wrestled with him. Ka'adam shechovek es chaveiro. It's like a person grabbing and hugging his friend. V'yadom agas, like afimino shechaveiro. And therefore, if people attack each other, facing each other, then the arm of each goes all the way around to the other side of the other, and that's what we assume it was the right one. Period. Good. Now, both opinions, though, this one that we just quoted and the previous one, hold that it's the right. So now we have to say, we're going to talk about the contact itself. Rabbi Shimon bar Nachmani Amar, Ovid Kochavim Nidmelo. He, the Malach, appeared like a non-Jew. Like a non-Jew, like an Ovi Kochavim, an idol worshiper, appeared to him. Damar Mar, Yisrael Shenitha Lo Ovi Kochavim, Baderach Tofel Yimino. Right, it's explaining why it was to the right, because we have a statement that says, if you see an enemy coming towards you, always stay to his Tofel Yimino. Stay to his right, and therefore you'd be protected. Why? Right, Mechaber Yamin, because that is, if he tries anything with his right hand, we assume he's a righty, we don't assume he's Ehud Ben Gera, and therefore, you have to protect yourself, you stay to his right, so you'll be able to see. Rav Shmuel bar Acha, Kamed Rav Papa, Mishay, the Rav bar Ula, Omar, Ketamar Chacham Nidmelo. No, he appeared to him like a Tamar Chacham. To Omar Mar, HaMahalech Liyamin Rabo, HaRezeh Bar. If you go to the right of your Rebbe, so then, Harezeh Bor, that is someone who does not have, that's not, Rashi says, Ein Bo Chachmas Derech Eretz. And therefore, what do you do here? He appears to him like a Tamil Chacham, and therefore Yaakov gave him covet as if he was his Rabbo. V'tafel Yamino, Kadeshi Yaakov L'smol HaMalach. Right, so he put his Rebbe on his right? It's Chashuv to have my Rebbe on my right. If I do that, then I go to my Rebbe's left, but my right is closest to him. And that's another reason, maybe, why the Malach would have been close to Yaakov's right and dislocated that thigh. That's what both of these opinions explain, why the right one would have been the one that was dislocated. V'Rabbanan, a third opinion, the one that argues, the Rabbanan say that it applied to Git, the Isser of Git applies to both, Me'achore Asa V'Nashi B'Travayhu. He came from behind and loosened both of them. That's why it applies to both. We discussed a couple of years ago, I don't think it was ever in a parsha here, but at least in a drasha, the Ber Yosef's, Rabbi Yosef Misalant's Agadata on this Gemara. What's the difference? The kind of Tamar Chacham, Kovei Kochavim, and he came from behind, one leg, two legs, okay, without going into it fully, says the Ber Yosef that we use for that ubedera harayon uberemes efshalavayer, that when it says that the Malach came sar shalaysav, he says this was the Yitzhahara, this was the Satan that wanted to push him off and be pogeya in the emuna of Yaakov Avinu and the emuna of Klal Yisrael. But he knew upaga biyosi yirecho shem doros ha'asidim latzeis bimenu v'hainu shal Yaakov lo ha'yachol laharva lefkoabo avon naga biyotze yirecho. Hey, madoros ha'asidim. So what does it mean? The whole is all ma'isa avo similar banim, as we'll mention again later. So he hid him in the legs, in what comes out of his thigh, which symbolizes the children. And what does it mean? He hid him in one of the legs. And he goes through how, b'mitzvah zator yeshnei chalakim. We know there's the chalak of b'nadam al-malkam and b'nadam al-chaveru. And each of the legs is symbolizing one of them. And he hid him in one of the legs. U'b'chein ha'adam ha-shalim b'shnei chalki ha-torah. The adam ha-shalim has to be shalim in both. He has to stand strong on one leg, both legs. But if you're nifka in Ben Adam Lamakom, Nikra Solea al Raglo Hayamanis. He proves that Ben Adam Lamakom is the Raglo Hayamanis, and it's Ben Adam Machaveru Solea al Raglo Asmalis. And that's what the Malach says. Kisarisa im Anashim Elokim v'im Anashim. I mean, he overcame both Yaakov Avinu. But we were limping for the later generations, they were limp, because some generations were hurt in one area, some in the other area. And what the Chachamim say, that he came from behind and hurt both, that might mean, says the Ber Yosef, because if you're limping in one, that affects both. That affects both. And don't just think that, it's only one problem, but you end up being perfect in the other one. If one side is affected, so then the other one is affected as well. That's Venashie Bitravayu. That's what he explains. If you only think one, really, the other one as well is a problem. Go look there for more al derech drush. The Rabbanan. What do the Rabbanan say? Hai Bey of Koimo, my Darshi Bey. So what are the Rabbanan darshin for from this pasuk behi of koimo? So mi boilei l'kili yidach Reb Shuben Levi. They use it for the other Reb Shuben Levi. Da Reb Shuben Levi malamed shehelu avak margalosam ad kisi hakavid. The dust from their fight went all the way up to the kisi hakavid. Meaning this struggle of Yaakov and Esav, the effects of it go up to the kisi hakavid. Ksiv hacha behi of koimo. Here it says that. Ksiv hasam, and the pasuk says in Nachum the anan avak raglav. Right, describing the kisi hakavod. So that's what they darshan beyavko, not to teach me a specific which side. We had a couple of opinions here why the riot would be the one for Rabbi Yehuda, but they darshan just the dust goes up. Okay, more agadata related to this fight, some very famous. What is Gid Hanasha? That it moved up from its spot. Nashim im komo va'ala. V'cheinu omer, nashisa gevura sam, hayu l'nashim. Their gevura left them, hayu l'nashim, and therefore they were weak as females. Amar b'yosi barchanina, my dechsiv, davar shalach, or dvar, says on the side, it is in the pasuk, shalach Hashem b'Yaakov, v'nafal b'Yisrael. Hashem sent something to Yaakov. Hashem sent a special something to Yaakov. Well, what did he send it? And Nafal b'Yisrael. Davar shalach b'Yaakov ze Gid Hanasha. The whole Gid Hanasha incident. And that mitzvah was given to Yaakov Avinu. V'Nafal b'Yisrael shepashat isura b'chol Yisrael. That its isur was spread b'chol Yisrael. Remember we mentioned at the beginning of the perek that this was a message. The Sefer Chenech described how Gid Hanasha reminds us of the Golus and hopefully the leaving each of the Galios, and even though it's hard and we're limping at the end, we're going to be there's going to be a boker, and we are going to be able to look back at it and realize that we overcame the fight. That's the message Yaakov Avinu gave was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Pashti Yisur B'chol Yisrael. We'll get to this Be'ez Hashem in 9 days from now. See which days are Yantif. But Pashni Yisur B'chol Yisrael, I remember on Daf Kufi, there was a machlokas that we mentioned in the past. When did the Israel of Gid Hanasha really start? Rashi says, an amazing shita there, that the brothers ate Gid Hanasha. It didn't start until later. So he would have to interpret this line of Pashni Yisur B'chol Yisrael after Har Sinai. Pashni Yisur B'chol Yisrael. Mashenki and the Rambam there would say, no, the Pashas of, if you read the Torah, you read the... Right, you'd rather not say that. The brothers didn't eat Gid Hanasha. Alkeinu yochlu b'nei Yisrael, let's Gid Hanasha. B'nei Yisrael, literally b'nei Yisrael, not just b'nei Yaakov. Okay, but either way, they'd be able to read this line in various ways. What does the pasuk mean by Yosef HaTzadik? When he gets the meat ready for his brothers, he tells them to shech t'vachin and prepare it. Par lehem beis hashchita. Number one, he said to them, open up the beis hashchita, let them see the beis hashchita that it was shechted properly. Rashi, we mentioned this Rashi a few days ago, on the fifth wide line, a very important Rashi, Lefisha b'nei Yaakov shomrei mitzvos hayu. The b'nei Yaakov kept mitzvos, da'afapi delo nitna Torah, mikubalin hayu me'avoseihen. They had a kavala from their father to keep the mitzvos. Tosas discusses this too. Maybe they were just doing it v'dilma lo nesa, v'ilachayim akayim. Tosas discusses this in second to last Tosas as well. That's an important Rashi. V'hachein, tvoch tevach means, he showed him the Beis HaShchita. V'hachein means, to Gid Hanasha b'fneihem. Take out the Gid Hanasha in front of them. So they see that it was taken out. Keman d'amar Gid Hanasha asa nesa l'bnei Noach. This is like the opinion that Gid Hanasha is Nesar to Bnei Noach, right? One of the Sheva mitzvos, right? Because that's what he, this was pre. Vayivaser Yaakov levado, Amar Reb Elazar, maybe the most famous line in all of Masechas Chulin, Shenishtayer al Pachen Ketanim. Yaakov Avinu went back over the river, beginning of Vayishlach, for the little jugs. Mikanel Tzadikim Shechav Aleim Amonim Yosem Migufam. This shows me that for Tzadikim, even their money is chaviv to them, more than their guf. He's putting himself in danger by going back alone. But Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him a little something. He doesn't want to waste it. He doesn't want to lose it. That's chaviv. Chaviv Amonim Yosem Migufam. V'lekol kach lama l'fishin poshin yidiyam b'gezel. He doesn't want to have to come to a situation of Gezel, so he worries and cares for every little thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. Interesting, Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai here says, what's the drasha of Vayivaser Yaakov Levado? Rabbeinu Bachai quotes a chazal where we don't know where this chazal is. Darshu chazal, run the footnotes, lo yadua mikaro, Levado likado karile. Right? Al tikri Levado elo likado. Melamei shechazer al pachem ketanim. Va'kavana, what's the kavana? Look what he says. Kidei shelo yistachnu habanim haktanim baderechem lo yishtu. So the children, right, don't become in danger by not drinking on the road. That's who he got him. He went back for the water bottles. Right, he didn't want his children to be thirsty. He went back for a little bit. That's Rabbeinu Bachai here. It's Al Tikri Livado El Likado. The Mizrahi quotes this. He doesn't quote Rabbeinu Bachai by name, but he quotes. There are those that darshan Yesh Befarshim to be Milas Levado Mafikle Al Tikri Levado El Likado. He says Vehu Shibush Beli Suffik. He says what? He made up a drasha. Ki Ein Koach Lidrosh Al Tikri El Litanaim Ula Amoraim Bilvad. Avol chutz mehem afilo ha-ga'onim ein koach b'yadam la'aso zeh. So the Rabbeinu Bachai might say, well, he had a measure somewhere. He found it from the Tanoim. But the Mizrahi is very upset because he says, I didn't find this anywhere, so I don't think that it's from that from the word kado. He thinks it could be from levado, from the word bad. Bad is like an oil press, a kad that used for an oil press. Levado, maybe that's a remez. That I'll accept, because that's not an altikri. That's not changing the word. That's just an allusion in the text itself. Okay, that's different, the Rabbeinu Bachai and the Mizrahi. Weiter. Vayavik ishimu adalos ha-shachar. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Mikam la-tamar chacham shlo yitzi yechide ba-layla. This teaches that a tamar chacham cannot go out alone at night. Tosfos says, why dafka tamar chacham? Nobody's supposed to go out at night. Right, Stosa says it depends how far you are away from the city. Right, Tamil Chacham have to have extra precautions as well. Okay, so that is the not going out at night. Rabbi Abba Bar Kana Amar Mehacha. This is where you know it from. Hine hu zore es goren ha-sa'orim. Who's he? Boaz. When Naomi is giving instructions to Ruth, she knows, Naomi knows that Boaz is not going to be out at night. He's going to be in the granary at night. Rakotam lichacham, don't go out at night. Right, so that's what she says, how she is so vada, he knows his schedule, he's going to be by the Goren HaSa'orim. Number two. Rabbi Yavo Amar Mehacha, third pshat, Vayashkim Avram HaBoker, V'yachavosh Shesham HaRov, V'chulu. Avram Avinu got up in the morning. He didn't go earlier, he got up in the morning. Tosfos does not like this Girsa of Argamara. Top Tosfos, Brosvarim Ksiv, V'yachavosh Shesham HaRov. He doesn't like this because that's about the Akedah. And there he wasn't alone. He has Shnei Na'aravimo. Number one, problem. And number two, even if he was a yachid in that case, we say shulchei mitzvah in his oken. He's on his way to do a mitzvah. So Tosfos thinks there's a different pasuk that should be quoted. Like Tosfos said in the middle of Tosfos, l'kach nira, t'achi garcina, v'yashkim avram ha-boker, ala makom v'chulu. Right, he doesn't go to zat by the akedah, the earlier pasuk, where he's not on his way to specifically do a mitzvah that he was mitzuveh to do by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. V'rabbanan Amri Mehacha, another final pasuk. Lechna re'e, not a final one, next one. Lechna re'e, es shlom achecha, ve shlom v'chulu. Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef, go see. Lechna re'e, see. Meaning see, it must be that it was daytime. Rav Amar Mehacha, v'yizrach lo ha-shemesh. Right, after the shemesh, v'yizrach lo ha-shemesh, that's when he went on his way, after he had the fight. Okay, all these different pshatim of, how do you know that a Tamar Chacham is not supposed to be out at night? Weiter. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Sha'alti Rabbi Gamliel, that's Rabbi Yeshua, Be'ilu Shal Im'um. Right, Rabbi Akiva says, I asked these great rabbis in the marketplace of Im'um, Sha'alchu Likach Bahem, Malamishta Benosh, Rabbi Gamliel. Because they all went to buy an animal for Rabbi Gamliel's son's wedding. That's what I asked him this following question. The Tosfos in Maseches Krisus, this same lashon is used on the Mishnah in Krisus. Right, when they went over a wedding, he asked him this kasha. So it says there in Krisus, Tes, Vav, Amid Aleph, Tosfos says there, Lohodia Shivchan, Sha'apa Pisha Hayu Trudin, Hayu Oskim B'Divrei Torah. It's well known, they're at a wedding, his son's wedding is the night, they still ask him Akashi. If you want to look at the Aruch Laner, there in Krisus, he discusses is there a connection between the content of this question or the content of that Mishnah and specifically being in the marketplace. He discusses Rabbi Gamliel was the one that held that a nasi and a rava is allowed to be mocha. A nasi is allowed to be mocha on his kavod. So maybe this connects to that. You're asking Mishael, and he's going to buy his own animal. That's his context there. Feel free to look up that Aruch Laner there. Anyway, so Ksiv, what was the question? What do you mean the sun rose for him? No, yeah, the sun that set early for him rose early for him. Dichziv, as it says, Vayetze Yaakov Iber Shava V'yela Charana. Right, the Yaakov went out at the beginning of Vayetze. He's going to Charan. V'kziv Vayifka B'makom. And the pasuk says there that he met the spot. What does that mean? Kimata L'Charan. Amar, Efshar Avarti Amakam Shpala Avosai. V'anilo Spalati. Is it possible that I passed by where my Avos Davin? I passed by Har Moriah. I passed by. I can't believe it. So Yaakov says, "Ah, I got to go back." Kayyav daiti lemadar. When he went back, kafsalei ara, there was kfisas aderech, and miyad vayifka b'makom, and he came back vayifka b'makom. And we'll talk more in a second. Katsoli boy lemadar. And after he finished davening in the place where his father's davening, he wanted to go back to Charan. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, tzadik ze bala beis maloni v'ipadim lolina. You can't leave. You got to sleep over one night, right? Like the beis hamikdash. Beis hamikdash miyad b'hashemesh. That's where the sun set early. So the sun that set early that day rose early the following day in order to give him a refuah. Major machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. What exactly happened with this kfisas aderech? He was on his way back. So what exactly happened? So the Rashi here says, already alludes to it, Shispalabo Avosai, Hai Beitel lo hasamuch la'ayhu. This Beitel is not the real Beitel, what we're talking about. That's not who he's talking about. El Yerushalayim. V'yalshem yiyah beis elokim, karo Beitel. He called Yerushalayim Beitel. V'hu har hamoriya shispalabo Avraham, v'hu sadeh shispalabo Yitzchak, v'chulu. So Rashi says here, Yerushalayim. So what happened here? What happened here? According to Rashi, and Rashi explicates this even more in Alat Torah, that Yerushalayim itself uprooted itself, okay, the Har Moriah uprooted and came to Beitel, and there was Kfisas HaDerech of the land. That's what Rashi seems to say here, and also Alat Torah. And the Ramban cannot fathom that. Kfisas HaDerech of the land? No, that's not called Kfisas HaDerech. No, it means that Yaakov Avinu on his way back at Kfisas HaDerech. That's what you would say. It doesn't mean that the land got up and the land moved. Either way, you can look, there's a long Ramban there at the beginning of Vayetzi describing where the ladder was, where was the bottom of the ladder, where was the top of the ladder, but it all has to do with this issue between Rashi and the Ramban. Was there only Kfisas HaDerech on the way back, not on the way there? Not on the way there. So the Brisker Rav says, because on the way there he was doing Kibbutz of Aim. And you don't, they don't want to shorten any mitzvah because then you lose schar. See, on the way, his parents told him to leave, so that's why he was doing Kibbutz of Aim. He didn't take away any of that. But on the way back, he was just doing himself. I missed the place, that's why he had Kfitzas HaDerech. Interesting halachic ka'ara, and that is, we usually assume, though it's not in the Gemara anywhere, we usually assume that the machlokas of avos and tmidim by tefila is the parallel machlokas to tefilas arvus rishus and tefilas arvus chova. If you say avos tiknum, then there's no difference between the avos, and you say arvus is chova. If you say tmidim tiknum, so then myriv is just the leftover fats in the limbs burning, and therefore tefilas arvus rishus. The nitziv in Hamak She'ela, in Shelta Ches, says it could be just the opposite based on this pasuk. It's not the opposite. It could be also, the Gemara doesn't link them. So the Gemara could say, even if you say Avos, you could still say Tefilas Arvus Rishus. Why? Because what happened by Myriv? Vayifka b'makom. The night set. So he had to daven Myriv. Yaakov Avinu was going back to daven Mincha. But what happened? Time ran out. And therefore, Vayifka b'makom, he wasn't even planning on it. So it could be, the Nitziv says there, even if you hold Avos Tiknum, it's possible that Tefilas Arvus Rishus, that there's something different about Yaakov's Tefila. Okay. Period. It says that he took from the stones, and he took the stone. All the stones came together. We know the Rashi. They all wanted to be under Yaakov Avinu, and therefore, they all became one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did them a favor, and they all became one stone under Yaakov's head. Okay, all the parshanim that discussed this at the beginning of Vayetze. You can look also in the first parak of Mesilas Yesharim, where he says everything alive is supposed to be used for our benefit. Everything is meant to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes this. That the stones were there to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with for Yaakov Avinu. How wide was the ladder? 8,000 parsa. Why? Dechsev, hine malachim elokim, olim yardim bo, malachim, in plural, we're going up and down, so that's at least olim shtayim v'yardim shtayim, at least two going up, two going down, v'chipagav adiyadadi, havilu arba. So you need, when they passed each other, they were four wide, vixiv, bay, b'malach, v'gviyaso ketarshish. And we know that the width of a malach is the size of Tarshish, v'gimiri, the Tarshish, shriyafi parasiyavi. Okay, so the ladder had to be at least 8,000 wide, because every malach is 2,000 wide, and there were at least eight malachim. Tana, let's just read the following, and then we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Tana, or tonight, that's Hashem, we'll try to have this year tonight, again, after Meir. Tana, olin, m'sagam, diokro shamala, v'yardin, m'sagam, diokro shamata. The malachim went up to see diokro shamala. What does that mean? Yaakov Avinu's face on the key Kisi Akavid. And then they came down and saw Yaakov Avinu below. Boil Eschune. They wanted to kill him. Why they want to kill him? We'll have to talk about it. Miyad, Vinei Hashem Nitzav Alav, so Hashem came and to protect him. Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Yomali Mekro Kasuv, Yevsha LaOmro. Had it not been for the Pasuk, for Chazal, we wouldn't be able to say it. Adam Sheminif Al Bano. It's like somebody fanning and protecting their son. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing to Yaakov Avinu. Ka vi yacho. So that's what it meant. So again, we'll hopefully we'll talk more about that, tonight, and just one more, we'll go, and then we have to go daven. Ha'aret, Hashirat HaShachev, Aleha, V'chulu. What do you mean, the land that you lie on, I'm giving to you? My Rabuse, what's the chiddush of that? Yaakov is lying on how many, a couple of amas? The land that you're lying on, I'm going to give you. What a great present. Thank you. Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak, Malamei, Shekipla, Kadosh Baruch Hu, L'chol Eretz Yisrael, V'yinicha Dachas Yaakov Avinu. Hashem folded in the entire Eretz Yisrael and put it under Yaakov, Shetehei Nocha Likabish Levanav. So that, as a simin, that he will be able to, his children will be able to be kovishit. And this is the famous idea of the Ramban, which he writes many times throughout Sefer Bereishis. The first time, the main time, is Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav, says the Ramban, Omelech HaKlal Tavinoso Bekola Parshios Habos Bin Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Let me explain to you something that applies to all of these parashiyos. V'inyan gadol, kol ma she'ira la'avos, simin labanim. V'chein ya'arichu ha'ksuvim b'sipra ma'asos v'chaviris ha'be'eros, and all of these, v'yachshov ha'choshev bohem, kilo hem dvar miyutarim, ein bohem to'eles, v'kulam bohem lomor ala asid. Everything that happened earlier is exactly what's going to happen in the future, laying the groundwork, so to speak. So that's the Ramban, Yud Beis Vav, and many other places. But as the Ramban, sorry, we have to stop here, and Beis Hashem, we will continue tonight after Meir. Beis Hashem, to do tomorrow's daf.